Well, the U.S. president has called on Venezuela's military to abandon President Nicolas Maduro and switch allegiance to opposition leader Juan Guaido.
You can choose to accept President Guaido's generous offer of amnesty to live your life in peace with your families and your countrymen, or you can choose the second path, continuing to support Maduro. If you choose this path, you will find no safe harbor, no easy exit, and no way out. You will lose everything.
Trump was addressing his supporters in Miami. The U.S. president reiterated his support for Guaido, warning that all options are on the table against Maduro's government. Trump has already said that he could use military force to oust Maduro. Earlier, the European Union's foreign policy chief said the bloc strongly rejects any military intervention in the Latin American country.
We have categorically excluded any European Union support or understanding for any military escalation around or inside the country.
Mogherini said the EU would send a technical team to Caracas this week to work on a peaceful solution to the political crisis. She also reiterated the bloc's call for fresh elections in Venezuela. The Latin American country plunged into crisis after Guaido proclaimed himself as the interim president. The United States and many of its allies have already recognized him, but others, including Russia, China, and Turkey and Iran, have strongly rejected any foreign interference in Venezuela's affairs and have reaffirmed their support for the democratically elected government of Nicolas Maduro. Now, to discuss that further, we're joined by our correspondent, Colin Campbell, who is joining us live from Washington. Thank you very much, Colin. And also, we're joined by David Yagubian, professor of history at CSU San Bernardino. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us on this edition of the News Review. Let's start with our correspondent, Colin Campbell. Well, Colin, we listened to Donald Trump's very peculiar speech there as he tried to slam socialism and point to socialism as the root cause for all the problems that Venezuela has. Now, the first question I'd like to ask is, do you believe that Donald Trump is worried about socialism in Venezuela, or was he using this opportunity for mostly domestic consumption?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I really feel that the president is worried that those who may vote in next election may look at socialism as an alternative to very disproportionate capitalism that's happening in the country. His opponents from the left, Democrats, have moved a little bit towards the left and have embraced some ideals of socialism, much to the critique of those on the right, Republicans. Now, of course, this is nuanced. There are systems already in place that some would say have fundamentals in socialism in our country, like Medicaid or paying off the police force or our military. That's a type of socialism, too. But what people are realizing in this country is that there is a huge wealth gap. There's a huge wealth disparity here. And there are others on the left who are saying, listen, this is unfair. There needs to be some type of ameliorative act or reparative act so that those who are at the very top don't continue to reap the financial benefits, while those at the bottom continue to fall deeply, more deeply into a precipice. Those Democrats, however, who are eschewing corporate backing are viewed as socialists. They consider themselves democratic socialists, but those on the right are painting them as strictly socialists. This ties in with the president's foreign policy, saying, listen, this is what socialism will get you. This is also to scare those who may be on the fence or who may be swing voters to say, oh, we don't want to the U.S. to end up like Venezuela. We have to run as far away as we can from socialism. Also, I wanted to note that the president, what the president is doing is also in the interests of the 2020 election when it comes to Latino or Latinx voters here. So he had a woman speak in Spanish. He addressed a large group of expatriates from Cuba and Venezuela, saying that, you know, the U.S. is backing them up and that the U.S. will protect them and defend them. And this is also to pander to the Latinx voting base as well, which he knows he's not really scoring exceptionally high points with because of his immigration policy. So all of this is tied in to a political calculation for the president to get as many votes as he can in the 2020 election from various groups, including Latinx voters who may feel alienated because of his staunch immigration stance.
Thank you very much, Colin, for that very interesting analysis. Let's now turn to David Yagubian. Now, Mr. Yagubian, we heard President Donald Trump very explicitly actually reaffirming what Juan Guaido has said in terms of offering amnesty to the military leaders that joined his side, and then also mentioning that if they don't, they will lose everything. What is your analysis of this quote from Donald Trump?
Well, it's a rather Orwellian choice, if you will, to suggest that members of the Venezuelan civil service or the military should choose between what Trump is calling democracy, which would be the implantation of a CIA stooge as president, a self-proclaimed president, or to completely lose their freedom and their assets and their future. And he didn't really mince words about that. So this is yet another delusional, self-congratulatory pep rally for neoconservative regime change, similar to what we've seen in Europe with U.S. political elites speaking before the MEK terrorist cult and essentially proclaiming in advance their victory in their regime change effort in Iran. So there are striking parallels. And just briefly, I want to point out, if we go back to the 1953 coup in Iran, it was really motivated by the interest of the United States to take control of Iran's oil resources and to put them into the hands of American majors and the British. We didn't have Kermit Roosevelt at the time coming out with cookies or like John Bolton just proclaiming this to the American media blatantly. So this is one difference, but parallels between 53 and the current attempt to effect regime change in Venezuela were evident in Trump's speech. In 1953, Mossadegh was called a puppet of the Soviet Union and referred to as a dictator. Here we have Maduro being referred to as a puppet of Cuba and as a dictator in the very terminology of Donald Trump. Another just fascinating difference and I guess evident hypocrisy here, though, is whereas the current regime change effort in Venezuela is being attempted to be affected by the United States engaging in some bizarre interpretation, an incorrect interpretation of the Venezuelan Constitution, as if the United States values foreign countries' sovereignty or their constitutions, you have the United States attempting its current regime change effort in Iran by violating international law, UN Resolution 2231, and threatening other countries around the world with its economic warfare and other punitive actions if it the other countries adhere to international law. So the United States is truly all over the map here in terms of its hypocrisy. The commonality here is the United States is seeking to effect regime change to control the resources of an oil-producing country, to unleash the economic hitmen, and will utilize any level of malarkey to achieve this purpose, including the platitudes of freedom and democracy, which in this case is completely antithetical to what the United States is doing and attempting to achieve.
Thank you very much, Mr. Yaroubian, especially for pointing out that 1953 coup in Iran. Plenty of lessons there for Venezuelans to learn. Now, we're running out of time, so I would like to address both of you gentlemen. Give me your final thoughts. We do understand that the EU was completely against any military intervention in Venezuela. They're trying to find a peaceful solution to the crisis. Colin, your thoughts, please, very quickly, if you could please wrap it up in a minute or so.
Sure, yeah, I think this is a very bold move and it should work in their advantage. I think it's a very good move to make because I feel that should the pendulum swing too far, the president could call for a military intervention in Venezuela. We've seen this happen in Iraq, in Libya, in Afghanistan, on and on and on, and this could spell even bigger problems, not just in Venezuela, but globally.
Thank you very much, Mr. Yaroubian.
I want to focus on Donald Trump's closing words where he basically stated, we are winning. I believe that I really smiled when he said that because this is perhaps the most clear evidence to me that they are losing. I mean, across the board, if one looks at the realities of American policies to affect regime change in Iran and Venezuela currently, it's completely failed efforts to bring about American hegemonic control to the other nations that it has quote unquote liberated through regime change, Libya, Syria. And so we are witnessing the final flailings of a dying empire. And I again believe that nothing could encapsulate it greater than Donald Trump's buffoonish statement at the end of his speech today that we are winning. In fact, the United States is losing. The only question is to what extent it is going to make Venezuelan people and Iranian people and others around the world who resist American hegemony and empire suffer through sanctions and through what is referred to as making the economy scream. And I think if anybody's really interested in understanding the plight of Venezuelans right now, rather than looking at socialism, they should look at the impacts of American sanctions and American attempts to engage in economic warfare and undermine the economies of independent and sovereign governments.
Thank you very much to both of you gentlemen for your elaborations on this very important development. And thank you, our viewers, for following this edition of the News Review with us.